you know, being that it's Parshas Chayisa, we'll talk a little bit about David. So Pistoris is a Shana Aleph where the most basic thing, the most basic thing you should probably be working on, regardless of it, but it's a good kick in the pants to do so, is the father your children will have is the person you turn yourself into. It's a great way to work on being motivated. If you want your children to have a patient father, a father who smiles, a father who's encouraging, a father who's positive, so start working on those characteristics, on those mitos already. If you want your father, if you want your child to have a father who snaps at them quickly, has no patience, gets angry quickly, is not friendly and warm, does not give them friendly hello, so nebuch to you and to your children. But it's a real opportunity already now to start asking yourself what characteristics, what mitos do I want to inculcate, build upon for the rest of my life, and specifically through fatherhood. Number two is that already start thinking about what you're looking for. Not per se, you know, details, but have a general idea. I think people make the following mistakes, and things you should not look for as well as things you should look for. Number one is not looking for a chavrusa. When I was younger, I remember there was a bunch of guys, you know, who I knew, who would always be like, wow, if I could learn Torah with my wife, what a wonderful way of, you know, expressing our love for God together. I don't know, for 99% of Jewish history, men got along fine with their wives and didn't have chavrusas with them. I'm not against it. When I was younger, my wife and I, we started to make, oh yeah, we decided we wanted to read Allah Tshuva together, the Hebrew work in Hebrew. We learned like 3 days, and that was like it. In other words, it never took off with us. I had a wonderful relationship with my wife. You know, Hashem didn't design your wife to be a chavrusa. It could be she could be a good chavrusa, and again, you should share Torah with her and share ideas with her and share thoughts with her, but I don't think a chavrusa is a ma'akev, even something of importance. Sometimes people are looking for a secretary in their life. I think that's a mistake also. You're looking for a life partner. Sometimes people are looking for themselves to do what they want to do, and I am me, and I, here's my life dream. And the question is how to fit someone into their lives. And essentially, it means cooking, cleaning, you know, arranging appointments and meetings, and you know, taking care of technical things. And I think it's a mistake as well. Sometimes people are looking to win a trophy. It is like a big challenge. Whether or not it's a beautiful trophy, a well-educated trophy, a profound trophy, at the end of the day, the trophies get dusty after a very short amount of time. You know what I mean by that? Well, Marshall, you know, walking around half the high schools we come to. I remember I was talking to a kid who, you know, was trying to get into the, you know, he was telling me, he's like, listen, I'm trying to figure out if I should go to the University of Pennsylvania or BYU, and this is not against the University of Pennsylvania, wonderful institution. One of the colleges, which is like a from Buffalo Torah, not the same as BYU, needless to say, but it's a good place. And he's telling me, I'm trying to figure out if I should go to Penn or BYU. And I said to him, you know, well, what are you considering? He's like, well, on one hand, I think BYU, I'll be happier, I think I'll learn better, I think I'll be firmer. You know, I think I'll probably do a lot better. I said, like, well, okay, so please entertain me. What do you, he's like, well, the truth is, I want to go to Penn, because I said, that's a really good reputation. So mainly, he would have said, I want to get a good education. I feel like offering a better education. I'm not sure that'd be a worthwhile trade-off. Worthwhile to think about it. But I said to the kid, you're trying to tell me the only reason why you want to go to the University of Pennsylvania is because you think it'll be a good trophy on your wall? He's like, yeah, that's why. I couldn't hold back. I almost tore into the kid. I ripped the kid to yeshiva anyway. I tore into the kid. I said, how could you possibly think such a thing? How could you make a decision? What's not best for your Baruch Hashem? What's not best for your happiness? What's best for your long-term future? He said the school he goes to, it's mamash a virus in the communities and the schools a lot of us come from. That if you, I remember when I applied to YU, and I was in high school, then going to YU, someone said to me, well, why did you work so hard in high school? I said, because I wanted a good education. Why are you going to Columbia? What the person was going. But I'm saying, why aren't you going because you value education? I value education in high school also. That's why I worked hard. It's like this condescending desire. In other words, it's condescending towards anyone who didn't achieve. This is not a pitch against secular university. A lot of kids go, a lot of kids do very well. Sometimes they go along, and sometimes not. Each person is a different person, different story. You have to be careful before you go. That for sure is true. I'm not saying you shouldn't go. Each person is different. But Rabbanu Shalom, don't go to win a trophy. Same thing with your wife. Don't bring home the prettiest girl because you want other people to think she's beautiful. Don't bring home the smartest girl because you want someone who got the following education, the following universities, and the following graduate degrees or whatnot. Don't bring home the rabbi's daughter. Again, it's a mitzvah to marry a daughter of a Talmud Chacham, but now she's the wrong girl. Don't marry the Gadol Hador's daughter if she's not for you. Marry who's appropriate for you. Those are, I think, things, traps people fall into in terms of what they're looking for, in terms of what you should be looking for. Listen, each person's different. I need someone who's open, who's an extrovert, who can talk, who expresses her feelings. Other people want, you know, when we get into a fight, it's important for me that we should talk and communicate and express our thoughts to each other. Other people like to slam the door, wake up tomorrow morning and be happy. If that's your style and that's what you need from a spouse, great, but make sure you know what you're looking for. It's generosity. Some people want to be very generous. They're like, yeah, it's a nice thing, but they don't really care. I want it very much so. I want an open house. I love having guests in my house. I love having Talmidim over. I love having Talmidot over. I love having people over. Since I'm married, it's been like 8 years already. I think we've had about 15 meals since we've been married, but we haven't had guests or been guests or done a Shabbaton or something. Which is about twice a year. We have a meal when we don't have guests. And the reason is because we just love it. So we think it's good for our kids. Again, sometimes it's not good for kids. We have to work out. Our kids until the age where it's wonderful. But that's something that's very important to me. Think of what's important to you. What are your values? You know, what are your values, etc., etc. What brings that? You know, it could be important to a person. You know, have a sophisticated appreciation for culture. It could be you don't care about that at all. It's worthwhile, and it could be you don't know. And as you date, you'll figure out what you value more and what you value less. I realized as I was dating more and more girls that there's certain things I thought I valued that I didn't value that much. Initially, I thought that I wanted something that was very traditional and yeshivish. Sometimes what's more traditional, not yeshivish. Some people want to have, you know, all sorts of things. It's good to have someone who brings out the best in you. It's good to have someone, I think, someone who's flexible. If you don't need someone flexible, you have to think. But the real thing is to think about what you need. It's important to have someone you're proud of. I remember a guy came to me from yeshiva. He's married to somebody else now. He's happily married. He's doing wonderful. A guy still in yeshiva this day. I don't want to do too many details. Like, oh, this is, I'm dating a girl. And she wears pants. What do you think of my work? That's all my honest thoughts, which were, in terms of the halachas of pants, there's a small issue, which is very easy to get past, which is a begging issue, so most likely it's not an issue. In terms of the sneeze issue, there's really serious issues about that, but it could be she's wearing tanua pants. And if the mamash should solve both issues, then I think there's a minhag yisrael for girls to wear a skirt, because I think it's a wonderful minhag to wear a nose to dress. I encourage my daughters to wear it, to dress that way, and my family don't, etc. That, you know, the reason I think you have to ask yourself why is she wearing pants? It's like the standard reason why Orthodox girls wear pants is because either it's a comfort issue, in which case you have to figure out, you know, how much do you value this minhag yisrael versus her comfortability. And the second thing I said, be careful of is that sometimes you find people who are like, we know better than the halachic system. We modern Jews have a much more better appreciation of the Torah religion. It's supposed to be about that than the Torah. I remember once dating a girl who said Rashi doesn't have one shot. So I was thinking to myself, I assume it wasn't a stupid statement, it was just like a disrespectful statement. What she meant was Rashi had a different picture of Peshat than the Ibn Ezra, Dakin, and Rashbam. And she's right. Like, I don't need my children growing up hearing these lines. I don't want the mother of my children saying Rashi didn't have to learn anything, period. I want, like, you know, that was for me. So I said to him, you have to figure out, are these values that you have or don't have? And much more importantly, are you going to be proud of her or wherever you take her? And pants are a stupid example, but if you're not proud to take her in front of your regular who's wearing pants, unhealthy to have a wife you're not proud of. And it's true about all the characteristics. If she's selfish, if she's ugly, if she's, and again, if you don't mind, that's fine, but if it's something you're not proud of, you should never be embarrassed of who your spouse is. You have to try to hide that. It's an unhealthy characteristic. You want to have someone you're proud of in all the areas. You want your parents to be proud to show it to your parents, to your friends, to your rabbi, to your coworkers, to your children, to everyone in the world. And he ended up breaking up, and not for this reason, but he came back and asked me to thank you. You know, everyone thinks about pride, and just, I really just wasn't proud to be around her. So in a certain sense, again, you should feel you got a good deal. You shouldn't feel the person got a better deal than you. You should feel that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. When you're ready to start dating each person different, I think there's two general things predominantly that means you're ready to start dating. Two or three. Number one is you're no longer interested in girls who are interested in a relationship. When boys hit around age 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, they become interested in girls. All girls, any girls, that make a difference. It's girls are what you're interested in. And hopefully through high school, begin the metamorphosis, the transition begins. Don't worry, kids, we're going to think in soon. I don't know, you're just making faces and I thought I'd and as you mature and as you grow, the desire hopefully should shift from all girls to specifically one person I want to develop a relationship with. The time when you're ready to start dating is when you're no longer looking for sex, when you're no longer looking for attention, when you're no longer looking for the way girls make you feel when they smile at you, but you're looking for a companion in life. To enrich your lives together, for a partner, for a life partner. That's when you're ready, point number one. Point number two is when you're selfless enough to take someone else into account on a serious level. As long as you're selfish, as long as life is about you, they say more, but like me. Once you become married, again, you may not hit the madrigas of Arya Levine when his wife leg hurts, he says, our leg hurts. You may not hit the level of from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who at the end of his wife's life did, said, I don't need to ask Mechila because I never ever did anything wrong to her in all my life. You should be ready to be selfless and giving. And number three is financially ready to support yourself. That doesn't mean you have a job. It means somehow you're responsible for taking care of it. If it means your parents are open to supporting you, developing. If it means her parents are open to supporting you, developing. If you're going to be in law school, it takes 3 years, and her parents say, listen, you're going to make a lawyer. You're going to walk into $175,000 a year in 3 years anyway. We don't mind shelling out $50,000 for the next 3 years to support you living in whatever small apartment you're living in Riverdale, or Washington Heights, or wherever you're living. Whatever it is, yeah. Wherever you're living at, it depends. Again, some people, I never took a dime from my father. My father was a wonderful man, had a wonderful relationship with him. I love him dearly, but he doesn't like rabbis at all. When I got married, he said to me, he goes, Jesse, you're becoming a rabbi now. I'm going to have to support you all your life. And then when I made Aliyah, like, what, you know, like, how rich do you think I have to be to support your family? Since I decided at that point in time, again, he's taking us out to dinner, he's bought my children birthday presents, you know, he never supported me. I have friends who, when they were in medical school and law school, the parents, teaching parents, and one sent them a check for $800 a week to cover rent and food. And that was their salary. I wasn't willing to do it. I didn't want to do it. I felt because of my father's situation. And I, again, have a wonderful relationship. I love to be a deal like a father. I'm not just a father. But I thought it was a chil Hashem that I should have to mooch it off and make money from him because he wasn't willing to do so. Again, he'd be willing to decide to be much open, more open about it. Thank God we did okay. You know, well, but you have to be ready, willing to take responsibility for yourself, whatever that means. It means a part-time job. It means your wife is doing it. Okay. Thank her for doing it. It's your responsibility. She's just covering for you. One last thing, which I think is a worthwhile thing, both in terms of one last small thing. One should take into account learning as well. Meaning, if a person plans on becoming a big Talmid Chacham, it's very difficult to get married at 20 and start working at 21. It's difficult to put in the hours it takes to go and learn. And therefore, I had different Rebbe who sent me different directions. Moshe Taragin, my Taragin's brother, when I was in Gush, he used to encourage me to hold out, wait a little longer, don't start dating until you're a little older, hold out until 23, 24, 25, hold out, hold out, hold out. That was my initial plan. I never harnessed or harnessed, like, if you marry a girl with mash of learning, you'll be able to keep those hours. There's truth to both. You always have to figure out who you are and what stage of life you're at, as well as your horn, as well as maturity, as well as when you're ready. There's a million things to take into account. But in terms of you want to grow really in learning, really grow in learning, it's difficult to accomplish everything in your Shana Aleph and become a huge Talmid Chacham. It takes years to really grow in learning. Again, it's not a push for Shana Vav, or even for Shana Bet. It's a push for both Shana Vav and Shana Bet. Lav daf in yeshiva, but in long-term commitment to learning in life. There should be, if you really value learning, there should be hours a day for years where you're really putting in time to learn. It's the only way to become really good learning. To really become a Talmid Chacham. Anyway, lastly, it's a story I alluded to from the neighborhood of Shlomo Zalman earlier on. I remember I took my wife to the Daily Journal to Connecticut for the day. No, we went out to like a mystic connecting went and we went day. If the Shem one day relationship's going well, you'll be able to go there and think of the good old days of me. I tell my wife two stories which I like very much, each of them. One of them is the story of Rav Moshe Feinstein. I believe it's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, if I'm mistaken, it's Rav Aaron Kalb. I'm pretty sure it's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, where the two of them walked into an Aguda convention, and Rav Yaakov said, let's walk around the back, so this way we don't have to interrupt everyone, have them all stand up for us. Because you can imagine, two people there, walk in, 2,000 people in the room, stand up for them. So Rav Moshe does not want to walk in the front. Rav Moshe is going to be extremely humble. What's that this way? Where's he coming from? So Moshe explained that my wife loves when she sees people standing with me. I hate it. I mean, it makes me feel uncomfortable. But sometimes you have to give to your wife above yourself. And I was thinking to myself, on one hand, look at the beauty of Rav Moshe giving to his wife, prioritizing her above himself. And look at the beauty of Rav Moshe's wife who, what she wants is people to stand not for herself, but for him. It's this desire to give to someone to make things perfect, this beautiful life. Again, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the minute when a person's wife dies, why? He said, I don't need to. I'll do it because it's a minute you stole, but I never ever did anything wrong to my wife. I told my wife in Mystic, Connecticut, that'll never happen. I'll never do anything wrong to you. Needless to say, I was wrong and proven wrong several hours after our wedding. I made mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. You get to fight. That's how you do. I made mistakes. Within days of the fight, not the huge fights, but people get to fight small fights. That's how the world works. I think a healthy hashkafa, both in dating as well as marriage as well as life in general, is never keep your eye off the dream, but never keep your brain off of reality. Meaning, till this day, I would come away with at least one day, hopefully I'll achieve this level, I'll never ever do anything wrong again. My expectations are not that great because I'm a human being. But my dream, my ideal, my ideology, Mitzvah Hashem, one day I'll get to that level where I only want to do the dishes just so she can have a more relaxing time. Right now I want her to do the dishes half the time. Half the time I really want to do it so she gets a break. I'm working on it. We also work on self. But it's definitely worthwhile to think about where you're at in life, where you plan on going, how marriage should impact that in terms of who you're looking for. And when you get married, try your best to keep your eye on the dream, but if you get into fights, don't kill yourself over it. It's normal, it's realistic. People are normal people. And in general, try to keep your eye on the ideal, on the perfect, keep your eye and your dream on utopia, with your expectations in the world we live in. Have a chance.